Okay, this is the third session of Shir on Haggadah Shel Pesach. We're going on the Seder Haggadah to cover some Peshatim that might be good for you and to tell over. The Haggadah, the speaking part of Haggadah starts with Halachma Ani Adi Achalu Avotanu Ba'aradim Yisrael. We say this after we do Yachatz, after you break the middle Matzah. And you hide away half of it for later on. So the natural question that will come up by the children is, like, why are we doing this? We did not even make hamotzi. Why are you breaking it? And the answer to it is, halachmaniyah, the achal avotana ba'aradim Yisrael. This half, this matzah, is lechem ani. Lachmaniyah. So since it's a lechem that's poor, and a poor man does not have a whole bread. His bread is broken, and we would like to portray that this is a poor man's bread. That is to portray that that's a poor man's bread. So therefore we break it. And half of it we eat now, and the other half we put away for dessert, basically, for afikoman. This is why one of the reasons, many reasons are given why halach, say there starts with halachma. This is one of the reasons that is given. Now, the Maral has a beautiful pshat of why is this bread called lachma aniyah, lechem oni. Now, you could call it a poor man's bread, and the Gra and others bring that the reason it's called a poor man's bread is because a poor man does not have enough money to buy a nicely fermented risen bread. So he eats that. Or he says another pshat, and that is that because the poor man over here does not necessarily mean a poor man who is financially poor, but a person who is going through difficulty, and they say that the people who go through difficulty, like people who went through difficulty in Mitzrayim, through the hard work, the Mitzrayim used to give them unrisen bread. They used to feed them matzah in order for it to be harder to digest so they won't get hungry so fast. So as they were trying to keep their stomach full, Jews' stomach full, so they gave them bread that was not risen. It was matzah. So that's one pshat halachma aniyah. That's a poor man's bread. The Maral has a different interpretation. He says, is not the poor man's bread. Lachma aniyah means lechem oni, a poor bread. Why is it called a poor bread? He says you have different kinds of bread. You have a bread that is cake. It's very rich. It has yeast. And not only does it have yeast, it also has a lot of other additives, eggs and juice and sugar. That's very rich. Has everything. That is the richest type of bread you could have. Then you have another bread that doesn't have any of those additives, sugar and the stuff, but it has yeast and it's risen. That's a regular bread, right? That also has additives. So that's also a bit rich. Then you have another kind of bread which doesn't have the yeast, but it has other additives. We call it matzah ashira. Ashira. Right? It has eggs, and it has juice, and it has sugar maybe. It has different things added to it, but no yeast. Then you have a regular matzah, which doesn't have anything but the main ingredients, flour and water. That is why it's called lechem oni, that it's poor bread. It doesn't have all the additives. So the Maral says, if this is a poor bread, so why do we eat it on Pesach? Pesach is a time of freedom. Pesach is a time that a person is free. How come we eat this on Pesach? So he says, because the freest man is the man who is not dependent on anything else. Meaning, if you want to make cake, and if you're missing one of the ingredients, you can't make the cake. You're stuck. Your cake is under a certain limitations, thank you, by having all the different ingredients. Otherwise, it's not going to work. The same thing is if you want to have matzah ashira, and you do not have all the other tastes, you're limited. If you want to make bread, regular bread, and you don't have yeast, you're limited. But if you want to make matzah, regular matzah, which is flour and water, you're not limited by anything. That bread is free. That bread could say, I can be a bread without yeast, I can be bread without sugar, without eggs, without oil, without anything else. I can be my own person, my own bread. So he says when a person is in avdut, he is dependent on other people. A person who's free is somebody who does not have any dependency on anything else. I know this famous understanding that as long as you have one car, you'll do with one car. Once you have two cars, then you cannot do with one car. If one car breaks down, then that's it. You can't function. As long as you don't have a phone or a smartphone, life goes on. You manage. Once you have it for a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, then once it's gone, you're completely shut down. Right?
So when the Gemara says that the time needed only food once a week, that means he was more free than other people. Wasn't it negative?
That's right. Exactly. Very good. That's right. Dailo. Dailo bekav charubin. It's enough for him. Kav charubin me'erev Shabbat ad erev Shabbat. Dailo, I don't need it. Right? That would have been enough. So that's why this lechem is called lechem ani. What was Shabbat last week? Oh, yeah. Right, it's a new phenomenon. They say that nowadays matzah is so expensive that every bite you take off and you feel more poor than before. Okay, that's all, you know. Okay, so halach ma'aniyah, so you start off because the kids might wonder why we're doing what we're doing. That's one pshat. Another pshat they say is that before we even start the seder, that's why, by the way, this halachma is said in Lashon Aramaic. The whole Seder is said in Hebrew. There's only one part that we say the halachmania is Lashon, it's in Lashon Aramaic. They say why Lashon Aramaic? Because we want this part to be understood by all the people, even those who don't understand Hebrew, because Aramaic was the spoken language when the Haggadah was written. So even the people who don't understand Hebrew, they should be able to understand this. The little kids, the wives, the ladies, and everybody should understand this. That this is the Lach Ma'aniyah, the Achalu Avotana Ba'arad Mitzrayim. Now, Kolbo says another interesting pshat just to keep in mind. You translate everything.
I know,
This is an introduction to whole Haggadah, right? I mentioned Mefarshim have a lot of questions, like why was this piece put over here, right? So one pshat, Kolbo says that this is what the Yidden said in Mitzrayim. We only repeat what the Jews said by this, what the Jews said in Mitzrayim, which means before they came out, the night that they sat to eat Korban Pesach, before they were liberated, they said, Halach Ma'aniya, this is that bread, now they didn't say this part, we say it, the Achlu Avotana Ba'arad Mitzrayim. This is the bread that they ate before they came out of Mitzrayim. Basically, you put the whole thing in perspective. Why matzah? Because that's what they ate in Mitzrayim. And what did they say when they were eating it? They said, "Kol dichvin yetev yechol." Anyone who's hungry should come and eat, should come and take part in this matzah. Kol disrich, anybody who needs to be a part of the number of Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach had to be, you couldn't just take a piece of meat and eat as Korban Pesach. A person had to have been appointed, has to have been designated to be from Korban Pesach. So if you do not have a family that would be able to eat the whole sheep for Korban Pesach, come and join our Korban Pesach. Kol disrich, anyone who needs, Yeter ve'ifsach should come and take part in the Korban Pesach that we make. We don't make it. That's what they said in Mitzrayim. And they also continued saying, Hashata Hacha, this year we are here in Mitzrayim. Leshana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael. Next year would be in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. Hashata Hacha Avde, this year over here we are Avadim, because we are still in Mitzrayim. Leshana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael B'nei Chorin. Next year would be in Eretz Yisrael B'nei Chorin. So this is what they said while they were eating their matzah. So we're just telling everybody, this is what we're about to do. Korban Pesach, they ate before they came out. Right. So this line must have been that they said it before they shechted Korban Pesach. Anybody wants to join in Korban Pesach? Anybody needs be a part of Korban Pesach Chabura? Join in before they shechted it.
In Mitzrayim,
before the Shechter.
You're going to make it like condition, like in case somebody shows up, he's Baruch, or also he can't do
Lafreya? Yeah, that's Berera. You don't do Berera Midoraita, that's the Shaila. That's a good question, but that's a good question. Okay, so this is why they have the Halachma. So, Avadi brings down, he says, you know, the kid sees that the father says halachma aniya. You know, after halachma comes the four questions of manishtan, right? He says that the kid sees the father says, sits down by the table, and he says halachma aniya dechazam Yisrael. Kol dichmei tei vechol. Anyone who's hungry should come and eat. My father never did that. Friday night he sits at the table. He doesn't make an announcement. Anybody who wants should come and eat. And more so, the door is locked. Door is closed. Nobody hears outside. Kol dichmei tei vechol. What do you mean? Anybody who's hungry to come and eat. Nobody knows about it, right? So the kid asked the father, "Man ishtana alay lazim kol alelot. What's going on this night? You're asking, you're inviting everybody to come and eat. You don't usually do that." And the father answers, "Don't worry about it. Avadim vayinu lefaro b'Mitzrayim. We were avodim to Paro. Just like Paro promised and it didn't carry out, I wasn't promising. Keep the door closed, right?" Huh? Yeah. So Ramadi brings it. There are a lot of quotations and quotations. But again, these, you could speak out to wake people up as they're falling asleep.
Huh? Okay,
so the kid asked four questions. Now, different households have different minhagim. Some households have a minhag that all the kids take turn saying the four questions. All the children. That's to be yotze. Now, halachat Gemara says, halachically, you don't have to ask these questions. Any question that the kid asks, you know, if the kid asks, what is this stuff on the table, that already you don't have to say the four questions. You could already go to the answer. Well, the mindset, the minhag is that we say all the four questions, and the kids take turns and they say it. This one says it and gets a chocolate or a treat. Next one says it and gets a treat. And this way, the kids all ask questions. The reason that Neidah Pesach is designated as question and answer is because when you ask questions, you are more eager for the answer. So therefore, the best format to teach the stuff about the Neidah of Seder is to ask questions. So you as a father, even though the kids are already in school, they know a lot, you ask questions.
Is that so we can ask questions
now? Huh? Yeah, it says, we're saying that later on, it says, could it be that if a person be yotze before Pesach, you're not going to be yotze before Pesach? That's why you cannot ask the question. You have to keep your questions from doing, you know, for the night of Pesach.
So we'll come to Rabbi. Night of Pesach.
Right.
That's our question.
It's brought down. Last year, we had one my kid wanted to say, I listened to one of the rabbi, Abraham Koller. He told me to tell your kids to put everything out after they want to play their project. And they won't cry at them.
No, you don't do that. You do not do that. What does that mean for later? There's no later.
Then the whole thing, they just, for 1 hour, they just...
Yes? No, you know, I mentioned it that you know, I can't say fortunately, but legabedis, maybe you could say fortunately. We have two nights of Pesach, so you could divide it. You could keep that for tomorrow night. There are some stories, you know, when
they didn't like it. They just got
real upset. No, you let them say it.
I mean, I say the next time.
No. They want to say something. You let them say it. He says one thing. This one says another thing. This one says another thing. Fine. When they want to say it again, you say, okay, so that you keep for tomorrow night. Right? You know, there's a balance. And there's a story. I have a story. Oh, story. I love to hear the story. Keep it for during the meal. Stories are for during the meal. You know, this way you divide it up. They are excited to say it. That's the whole point of, you know, it used to be that you have to get them excited to ask. Here, they already know and they want to say. It's good. Let them say it. By saying it, it also becomes real to them. Even, especially when they say something and you ask a question to them on it, right? And I don't know. Oh, so let me tell you the answer. Right? So at Petachlo, you give them an opportunity to have a question to be able to ask. The night of Pesach, the focus is on the kids. You know, as much as the parents and the grandparents, they like to have all their families around them and enjoy all of them. At some point, even if you go to your parents and grandparents, you're going to have to work out a situation that your focus should be on the kids. You know, either you don't go, I don't want to say that, I don't want to get into a fight with anybody, or if you do go, you could work it out, you know, you have a big table, you sit with your kids on one end of the table, and you participate to everybody, but as they're saying and they're talking, you just do it with your kids. You have your own Seder within the big Seder. That's the bottom line. Otherwise the kids are going to, once they learn that they're not going to sit there to listen to you and they're going to play around, you lost them already.
Is there an age that you don't have that mitzvah anymore?
No. Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu.
No. It seems right now there's two mitzvahs. One is the
saper,
one is for the kids.
The same thing. The man tesaper bincha uben. So the best thing is to tell it to your kids. And the more you talk about your kids, the better it is. See, you have to, there's something you have to understand. That even if the father is less knowledgeable than the child, a message that goes over from the father to the child has a bigger effect. Because the master, you're older. Whatever you don't have and your child has, there is one thing that you have, and that's age over your child. Your child could become the Rash Kebarag of Gedul, you know, it could become the next Chazonish, right? But there is something you have over him. You're older. And as being older, you automatically have more experience of life. You've been around. You've seen things that your kid hasn't seen. And therefore, when you say something over to your kids, it has a different effect. So even if it's something that your child knows already, when the father says it, well, my father said it. It's a very important nekuda. To your children, to our children, we are giants. Because when the child is born, the child is this size, and you're that size. The child always looks up to you like this. To him, you're always that big guy. Even when they grow up, they subconsciously deal with you as that big guy. That's why when a father says something, carries a weight. Even if the child, Chas v'Shalom, rebels and he doesn't want to listen to his father, whatever it is, but when finally he comes to his right mind, my father used to do this. My father used to say this. That's an element of father. So that's why it's kedai that they should hear it from the father. It's important.
What point a child supposed to get from the night of Seder? What is beside? I mean, I could hear a lot of things goes back and forth, but a lot of these they already know. There is something that we have to emphasize.
No, you see, what they know is, what they know in school is Peshatim. Peshatim is not the point of Pesach. I'm telling you Peshatim. Right? Your job is not to just repeat the pshatim. Because this pshatim is the same thing. You know, I have a pshat. It's nice to have to say those pshatim. That's also nice. But that is not what's supposed to get conveyed by the parents. What gets conveyed by the parents is the feeling, is the emunah, is how I feel about it, is what I believe, is the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, is what He did for us. That's what gets conveyed over. The kid, the teachers, you know, they teach it and they, you know, like they teach everything else. But the message that has to go over is, this is how I feel about it. I mamish believe in it. I believe in the way what went on in Mitzrayim. I believe in the way I'm conveying it to you. I'm giving it over to you. It's not just I'm letting you know, I'm telling you a piece of news that came out. You know, Jews were in Iran, they came out of Iran, they're in America now. And Jews were in Mizraim, they came out of Mizraim, and they're a nation. It's not just that, that's also real. But here is, I came out of Iran. I could tell you how I came out. That's real. So when I tell it to my kids, we came out of Mizraim. That's a chiyuv. Right? It says, "B'chol dor v'dor, chayav adam lirot et atzmo, keilu hu yatzam mimitzrayim." Chayav, the person is obligated. You have to get into it so much that you feel that I'm telling you real stuff.
Rabbi said earlier that the kids should not be like messing around, messing around.
I
didn't
say that. I did not say that. I said that if once we go up to the seder and the seder is focused on the adults, right? Especially if the conversation that goes back and forth is in adult language, you know, Farsi or whatever the language is that they discuss, and the kids sort of get neglected or get bored, and they start to walk away. Once they get used to the night of seder is when the kids play together, and the adults say whatever they say. Right? We lost the kids.
Make it exciting. Pay attention.
Well, you're not a teacher. You can't call a class. You have to. The kids will come to the table excited. Why are they coming excited? Because they have what they get from school, which is a good thing. If they're younger, that they're not gonna chab, they're gonna come to the table excited because they're gonna have treats waiting for them. That when they say this or when you say this, they get a treat. The point is that they should get a good experience. So it's not that everybody should come. You can't get up. You sit down. I want to tell you about Yetziat Mitzrayim. It doesn't work like that. The whole point is to get it excited, make it exciting and make it gishmak. Yeah, then they could go for 2 minutes and play and come back. You know? If it's exciting, my experience with, you know, Shabbat I understand. But my experience with Night of Pesach, is that I haven't seen kids get up to go play.
How old?
Any age.
No, I'm saying
two, 3 years, they don't understand what's going on. As soon as they are able to come to follow the conversation and you keep them engaged, see, it's not Shabbat that comes every week. To them, everything is new. It's just, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, from 2 weeks before, I would practice saying Manishna, not practice it. I would like daydream saying it. So I would go and I say it because I know I'm going to say it. It's a certain excitement that goes into it. You know, so the kids automatically, they're not ready to miss it and go play. But, you know, but you have to keep them engaged. If they get bored, they get up and they go.
Father Dafka to give over the message
to
his children. Yeah, that's what we're saying, yeah?
They got the Levincha by him, Aulemur. That's the mitzvah. Right? Or the man to Saper, yeah, you have a mitzvah to give it over.
I mean, besides it yourself, like Dafka. Right.
To the kids.
Don't end up at the Babur's, for the sake of me saying it to
you. Babur's, well, that could mean that shot. Ba'avuzeh either means that since we kept matzah and maror in Mitzrayim and Pesach, Hashem took us out. The zechut of this mitzvah is what brought us out of Mitzrayim. Or that Hashem brought us out of Mitzrayim to be mekayim this mitzvah. Not for me to tell you, to tell over.
To be
mekayim mitzvah of achilat matzah u'maror. Right? So why do we eat matzah and Pesach? Because, let me tell you about matzah. And why do we eat maror? Let me tell you about maror. And why do we come on Pesach? Let me tell you about come on Pesach. So once you end up eating the Pesach and matzah and maror, automatically you're going to end up telling him the whole story behind it. So that's automatic.
If they learn everything in school, don't you lose that chance?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not. When they learned in school, they learned it. You know, I have a story here, I have a story there. Your job is to take... I have this. You have a script of a play. Right? Everybody would practice the piece that they have to say. Right? This is your part you say in your play. This is your part, this is my part. We practice it, we say it. But as long as you're not on the stage and you're acting it out, the play is not being played. It's just some sentences that you have. In school, they are taught the piece. That's a question, that's the answer. That's a question, that's the answer. When you sit at the table, your job as a father, as the one who's running the show, is to make it real for them. This is the whole yesod of Nairo Pesach. You have to make it real.
They make it stick in their memory.
Yeah. Real, make it real. Either, you know, with... By telling it this way, by telling it that way, by acting it out. I mentioned that last time. What it brings, there are families, we don't have a minhag, but there are families who have a minhag that when it comes to halachma, they put the mats on their shoulder, and they walk around, and they say, where are you coming from Mitzrayim? Where are you going to Yerushalayim? And try to make it real. Yeah.
No,
no. The mitzvah is all the children. Same focus, boys and girls. When it says bincha, doesn't mean that bitach. It's not like Talmud Torah that you only teach your kid, your sons. You have a chiyuv to teach the boys and not the girls. Here is all the children. Okay. So the child asks four questions. The four questions that we have are different than the four questions that they had at the time of Chazal. One of the questions is different. The question that the Mishnah brings, when they had Korban Pesach, a child would ask, how come every night we eat all kinds of food? Tonight we are eating roasted meat. Why is it that tonight is bedavka roasted meat? Because Korban Pesach only could be eaten roasted. That we don't have, unfortunately, so therefore we have changed it already. Baal Haggadah has changed the Lashon of the Mishnah to another question, that how come every night we eat, whether we sit up or we lean, but tonight we're all leaning. If they wanted to write it for nowadays, is that how come every night we don't lean at all? Right? And tonight we would have to lean. Okay? But whatever it is, it's another question. The Mefarshim say that the question that the child is asking is, and that you could do. You could ask your children. They ask you Ma'anishtana. After Ma'anishtana, you ask him, so what did you ask? You ask four questions. What are these four questions? Right? So they say that two of these questions, yeah, the order is a little bit different. One word is up and down, but it's basically the same. The four questions that we have, two of them, the child says, what you're doing is a sign of avdut. Right? You're eating matzah, because that's a matzah that they ate in Mitzrayim. You know, they fed them this hard bread, so it would remain in their stomach. That's a sign of avdut. A wealthy, you know, free man, you know, a wealthy man does not eat this kind of bread. He eats a gishmak, a nice, fluffy, sweet, nice, delicious bread. So if you're eating this bread, obviously it's a sign of tough times. When you eat maror, that's also a sign of tough times. On the other hand, we dip twice, right? Well, we never dip, but they dip twice. They're dipping twice means you're having extra dip at the table. That's a sign of luxury. You have all kinds of dips. And you lean, that's also a sign of luxury. So what's going on? Tonight we're doing things that are the sign of avdut, and they're doing things that are not the sign of avdut. So what's going on? That's why the kid has four questions. Man ishtana, that we do this and this, and then we do this and this. And the answer that the father gives is, avadim ayinu lefaro b'Mitzrayim. We were avadim. And ayotzinu Hashem elokeinu mishram, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So I'm telling you both. We're acting out both. We were acting out how we were avadim, how we were in difficulties, and how we came out of Mitzrayim and we came free. So this could be a good point when you know the kids ask these questions and they don't even know what they're asking in a way. So you ask them, so what did you ask? Yeah, Taki, what did I ask? Right? So then you're giving them a point. Because we do all four things.
We do a lot of other things that don't
matter. You don't do anything else that is strange. You have anything else that is strange?
We're up so late.
You should have asked. We drink four cups of wine. Right? Or we're going to be up so late. The answer is, those things the kid hasn't seen yet. The kid just saw that you drank one cup of wine. On Kiddush, you usually sit. Tonight, you were leaning when you drank the cup of wine. That's all he has seen. He sees the matzah. Usually, we have nice challah. It's matzah on the table. He sees there are two dips sitting on the table. Oh, so we're going to dip twice. There are two different dips. And he sees that the vegetable that we have is maror. You know? So, how come we have maror? We have all kinds of vegetables usually. We only have maror on the table tonight. So what he sees, he asks. The only thing that he sees strange at this point is these four questions.
What about yachatz? Yachatz isn't strange?
That's a poor man's bread.
Right.
That's
right.
Poor. Why are we eating matzah? That's poor.
And also you explain it while you do it. You're explaining it while you're doing it. There's no question.
For halachma.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying the halachma was this sort of, it was not really a part of Haggadah. Haggadah really starts from Manishtana. Right? So Halachma just was put there. Some say that the reason Halachma was put there is because they were afraid that the Goyim might come and mess things up. So that's why they wanted to say something about it, just in case the Goyim come in the middle of the Seder and they stop it and mess it up. This way they were Yotze, having said, this is the Lachmani or something, that they got the point. Baal Haggadah, the way it's brought down, was, it is a question who wrote the Haggadah, but it seems to be one of the Tanaim. It was already during the time of Tanaim.
Was that far back?
Yes. So it's a question. The Rishonim have questions. They don't know who the name is. That's why they call him Baal Haggadah. But it seems that it was put together from the time of Tanaim. Okay. From here on, I mentioned that the focus of Haggadah for next few paragraphs is on the importance of speaking out Haggadah. You don't have to focus too much on explaining these things, because that's not the ikar part of Haggadah. It's only bringing to an attention why you're saying these things. If you are hosting people who are not so frum, or the people who say Yalla b'chun taverim, right? Then to them you could say that this is why it's put over here, to tell you the importance of Haggadah. But I want to tell you a beautiful word. It's a word that you might want to say it that night, or you want to say it at the meal, or you could say it during the meal the next day, during Pesach. says Maaseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yishua, Rabbi Zohar, Nazaya, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. Right? Story about these five Rabbanim who had congregated Shoayum Mesumim b'Bnei Barak. They made Seder in B'nai Barak. And V'ayum Mesapenim b'Yetziyat Mitzrayim. They were speaking about Yetziyat Mitzrayim the whole night till the morning. Right? And once I heard a Givad Kipshat. B'nai Barak was where Rabbi Akiva was. That was his city. Chazal said that was the city of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua were the Rabbeim of Rabbi Akiva. How come they came to their Talmud? They were making the Seder by the Talmud. Usually the Talmud goes to the Rabbi. How come Rabbi Akiva was hosting his Rabbeim? You know, even Rabbi Rosa ben Azariah was a bit more advanced than Rabbi Akiva in age. Because Rabbi Rosa ben Azariah was the one that after they removed Rabbi Gamliel, they made Rabbi Rosa ben Azariah to Rosh Shiva. They didn't make Rabbi, I mean, they discussed whether they should put Rabbi Akiva or not. But Rabbi Rosa ben Azariah, the Maaseh, was the Nasi. So how come they went to Rabbi Akiva? Givad Givad. So when did this happen? This happened after the Khurban. After the Khurban, those who witnessed the Khurban, including Rabbi Akiva, were not in the mood of having a Seder. Because now you're going to have a Seder without Korban Pesach. How could you sit down and have a Seder when you don't have Korban Pesach? They had Korban Pesach for all these generations, for all these years. Now we're going to have a Seder without Korban Pesach? How can we look? Because if Rabbi Akiva is hosting, that's after the Khurban. This is after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Rabbi Akiva
was very young during the Khurban by Chen. Right? That is when it happened. Ben Kalbosavua was the one who was the Ashirim of Yerushalayim during his time. Yerushalayim was destroyed. So it was around that time. But Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva after the Khurban. So how come they came to him? So he says because Rabbi Akiva, they were not in the mood. The only one who was able to be in a mood to make Seder was Rabbi Akiva. Right? At the end of Masechet Makot, that the Chachamim were walking with Rabbi Akiva, and they saw a fox coming out of Bet Kodesh HaKodoshim. They all cried. Rabbi Akiva laughed. And they all said, you know, why are you laughing? He said, why are you crying? You know, what do you mean? You know, the Makom HaMikdash, a fox will come out of it. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to do this, and it became Mekuyam, right? And all the good promises that he said also will become Mekuyam. So Rabbi Akiva had this positive outlook on the whole process. He was the one who was able to host it because he had such a positive outlook on the whole. That's why they came to him.
Morning
is Rabbeim. That's why they came to him to the emesis, if you give him a makor. Some of these same Rabbani were mentioned over there.
Why did he laugh when the fox came and
he said the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer ve'oseh, he said he's going to do this and it happened, all the promises that he said will also happen.
For the good, it will also happen.
Yeah, for the good, there were promises. All the good promises that he said also will happen. You see the lesson of the story. This is that's what makes it so beautiful.
Who said this?
Huh?
Who said this pshat?
I don't know who said this pshat. I don't remember who said this pshat. But somebody else says a similar pshat. Rishi Bresa Levitchik says similar pshat on the Mishnah in Pesachim. You hear? וכבר היו רבן גמליאל ורבי אלעזר בן עזריה ורבי יהושע ורבי עקיבא מהלכים בדרך. This is the writer. Right? אז המשנה עובד. Right. Kvar yom 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 that they were walking, and they saw the fox coming out. So a few of them are the same rabbanim. So...
Why did they show up and say
that? Huh?
Why did they show up and say that?
No, because that was the whole point. It is a mitzvah. So they're going to make it, but they're going to make it, they're going to make it with a heavy heart. Rabbi Akiva is the best host for it, because he has such a positive attitude. Let him host it, and he will cheer everybody up. They stayed up the whole night, and they talked about it. You know, other times they didn't talk about it. This night, but that's when they talked about it in the morning. Even without Korban Pesach, we could talk about it in the morning. So it's a good lesson for people to have the right attitude when they go through difficulty. The next part talks about how the Inyan of Yetziyah Mitzrayim is so important that will be said even the Yimud HaMashiach. Right? And then the next part talks about how it's important that Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah, that the Torah talks about four languages, Keneged Arba Banim. I've said this pshat, I don't think you should share it with your kids because it's not a good, might not have a, depends if it goes over well to your kids or not. Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah. Torah talks about four types of children. Why? There are only four types of children? So they say, Baruch Hashem. Oh, I'll tell you something else. It says, Baruch HaMogon Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenotan Torah Lamo Yisrael Baruch Hu. It says four times Baruch. Why four times Baruch? Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah. Keneged the four types of children. And all of them you say, Baruch Hashem. Whether your child is a Chacham, you say Baruch Hashem. Your child is Tam, you say Baruch Hashem. A child is Shenu Yodi Alishol, you say Baruch Hashem. Even if the child is Russia, why don't you say Baruch Hashem? Why? Because there might be a fifth child. There might be a fifth child. The one who doesn't even come to the Seder. The Russia at least comes and says something. Even though he's antagonistic, at least he has a connection, makes a comment.
Isn't Russia
better than Tom? Better? I don't know, better.
Why is it in that order?
The reason that order is because Russia is a Chacham. He's intelligent. Except that he's using his intelligence in the wrong way.
This is the
Huh?
This is from the
yeah. Yes. So he's at least, I heard it from a few different sources, but they also say that he said it. I don't know who the original source was, but there is a fifth child who doesn't bar minan even make it to the Seder because he doesn't care. It's completely, you know, gone. Right? Baruch Hashem, at least these four children are somehow talking about it or connecting to it or at least still connected. Anyway, so Baruch. So how come these four types? So I said a pshat. I think it's MSG pshat. You know, it takes time for the kids to digest it, but it's MSG pshat. Every person goes through these four stages of A person starts off as Shenu Yodi Alishol. Person is a kid. Right? Doesn't know even how to ask. He doesn't know how to ask. He gets a little bit older. He's 5, 4, 5, 6 years old. He starts asking unsophisticated questions. What is this? What is that? Why is this? That's Tom. He gets a little bit older. He becomes a teenager. Then all the questions that he asks is, Auntie, you don't know the answer. I know the answer. Who are you to tell me the answer? You know? Right? I know it all. I'm the know-it-all. Right? Not the teenagers. That the only reason I ask is because I want to show you that I know and you don't know.
Two blood chapters.
Right. Then he gets older enough to become, to understand, become wise enough to understand that there are other people who know better than me. Ezo chacham halomed mikol adam. So he starts asking to get the answers from other people. This is how we go through the stages, more or less different types. And people get stuck. They might get stuck at any stage. There's nothing wrong with being Shenu Yedea Lishol and then become a Tam and even become a Rasha and then become a Chacham. No problem. But the point is, don't get stuck in any of these stages till you get to the last stage. There are people who their whole life would remain Shenu Yedea Lishol. Things don't faze them. They don't care. They're there, they don't care. You want to do it, do it. Don't want to do it, don't do it. Do whatever you want. Doesn't bother me. I have no questions. Nothing phases, nothing bothers me. I'm in my own world. I do my own thing. That's Shenu Yedea Lishol. They don't know how to ask. It doesn't bother them. There are some people who are 40 years old, 50 years old, their question still is mazot. Well, Rabbi, in chie. Oh, she's chie. What about it? You know? You could make your question a little bit more, you know, think about it. If you think about it, then you know what your question is. You ask it better. She'elat chacham chatzit teshuvah. When a chacham asks a question, half of it is already taken care of. Right? So, think about it more. Analyze it before you ask the question. Last time. There are some people who remain that stage of teenage years their whole life because they always want to show you that you don't know. I know better than you do. Right? They're never ready to learn because they always know better than you do. So they're never going to learn from you. And then there are people who get to that stage. So Keneged Arba Banam Divrei Torah is, these are the four stages of life. Different kids are different age, or Nebach, they could be all grown-ups, but in different stages.
Yeah, but the question on this is, why is it going backwards? The order is on the ages.
Yeah, you're right. Because the one that's most suitable to get the answer is Chacham.
So
right?
The end point should be Chacham. That's what we're trying
to say. That's right. You know, because you want to convey the messages to Chacham to understand. So you tell the Chacham. Even if the guy is a Rasha, tell him. Even if he's the Tom, tell him. Doesn't know how to ask. You get him involved. So it puts a responsibility on the father that no matter how the kids are, he's going to have to adapt his messages to those kids. That's the job. Meaning, every night of Pesach, it's an obligation on the father. He can't, it's not, you know, every father should say the Devar Torah Friday night. That's not how it should be done. Now, if you don't say the Devar Torah, you get your kid to say the Devar Torah. Okay, what did your Rabbi say? What did your Rabbi teach? You get your Shabbat table to say the Devar Torah. Why? Because you want your Shabbat table to have a tzura. I hear that. Many Gedolim say that go to the Shabbat table with something prepared, something to share, something to say. It's important. It's important for the kids to see that the father has something to share, something to say. But those are just stam chinuch, being a good role model. Night of Pesach, you have to come prepared. Night of Pesach is your night. You are the one who's running the show. It's a givat gezach, you know. Huh? That doesn't make you patur from dealing with your kids. Right? So that's what I was saying before. That, you know, I told somebody this year. Somebody asked me, Rabbi, you know, our family, we have to go to the in-laws or the parents. Right? And everybody comes. So what are you going to do? I told them, you know what you should do? Tell them in advance. No offense. No, nothing. We'll love to come. Some people go one night and they stay home one night. That's another situation in Chuslaris. Right? But I said, you tell them we love to come. By all means. And we'll be a part of the thing. But we need a table next to your table. But I'm going to sit with the kids. My kids are old enough. These are his grandchildren. You know, he should care about it. My kids are old enough. I need to focus on talking with them. I'll be involved with your table. I would also spend some time dealing with them. Keep them. Oh, Bada shouldn't be out. Bada shouldn't be out.
Doesn't have to be a separate table.
Exactly. That's right. You know, don't put all the grown-ups in the front and all the kids down there. You don't do that. You know, you sit with your kids. Kids around you. Oh, Bada shouldn't be out. You know, you do it one year. Then second year, Bada shouldn't get any out. That's what it is.
No. Sometimes these people just go overboard with the kids and just get very annoying for adults.
That's true too.
It's like non-stop, half an hour straight. Every kid has you have six kids and every kid has 20 minutes of that.
Are you good? So you not everybody has to listen to that. These are my kids. Let me, I'll give them my kids. You know, let's say, you know, two brothers, three brothers go to the same parents. Right? I mean, not in-laws, right? Same house.
Collectively.
Okay, good. So they could say it for themselves. And maybe...
By the time you finish, you don't have a seder. Everybody has a little piece of it.
So what? The mitzvah is to focus on the kids. The mitzvah is not... The night of Pesach is not a get-together event. Night of Pesach, you get together for a purpose. It has become a family socialization. You do that in the other Yom Tov. Night of Pesach is to sit and talk.
Everybody talks. Nobody hears.
You say it quietly. You know, tell me. Okay, let's hear it. Right? At least the kids get a feel that my father's interested in what I want to say, what he wants to tell me, and we're talking, and then they talk, and then the cousins talk, and you know.
Or maybe it's I come.
You can't come back because that means the kids 15 minutes later, then the kids going to go have a good time. You don't want that. You don't want the kids to feel that we are abandoned. That's the worst thing. Friday night is not the end of the world. You know, they came, they enjoy the meal, they enjoy the kiddush, they, you know, they're singing, they go, they come. Now, let's say that you want them to stick around.